Ahoy everyone, welcome to Voyagers Under Sail, the audio journal. This is recording number 17. Today is Wednesday, September 5th, 2018, and it's kind of 8:30 in the evening. We are in the Atlantic. So for those of you who didn't follow our audio journal from the beginning, we are a family of four traveling around the world on a sailboat. We started our voyage from south of France in the beginning of August, just a month ago. And right now we are on the Atlantic coast of Africa, heading towards Rabat, the capital of Morocco. But before that, I should talk about Gibraltar, because when I did the last recording eight days ago, I think I was leaving Cartagena and heading towards Gibraltar. I don't remember if I spoke about Nerja at the time, but what happened? So after Cartagena, we went to Nerja. We managed to anchor off a few miles off Nerja and spent a day in an anchorage there. And the next day we moved to an anchorage just in front of Nerja, and that allowed us to see to visit the town. And we are very, very pleased with the town. I mean, it was a beautiful town, old city, narrow streets, beautiful promenade above the sea, a beautiful place. But after Nerja, we start our leg towards to Gibraltar, and we left Nerja early in the morning, around 8 o'clock, 7-8 o'clock in the morning, because the previous night was really rolly. The anchorage became really rolly, very uncomfortable. The boat was rolling left and right, port to starboard, all night long. I couldn't wait for the morning to come to leave that anchorage. So as soon as the day broke, we put the dinghy up on deck, we prepared the boat, and we left. So in a way, we kind of left Nerja, let's say 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, when we were supposed to actually leave it around 12 o'clock, according to my calculations, and that made us arrive to Gibraltar about 5 or 6 hours earlier than planned. Basically, we approached Gibraltar in the middle of the night, and my plan was to get into port during the day, of course, like 8-9 o'clock, when the office of the marina opens, and so we can get in and get our berth. So we had to spend the night behind the rock, kind of, you know, sailing at 1.52 knots, zigzagging in the bay behind the rock of Gibraltar on the east side of the rock. So we did that the whole night. It was impressive to see all the big ships passing by or at anchor. The rock was glowing with the lights of the city. It was a nice view. The night was coldish. I wouldn't say cold, but you know, it was a bit colder than usual. But the big surprise was on the evening when we were approaching Gibraltar. The number of dolphins that came beside the boat was incredible. We never had so many dolphins or so many visits from dolphins in one day. We're talking tens of dolphins, and nice big dolphins, healthy looking ones. Because we were moving very slow, like 3-4 knots, they were gliding slowly through the water. The water was pretty flat, so you can actually see them playing in front of the boat and diving from one side to the other. It was a beautiful sight. The dolphins coming up and puffing for air. It was a magical experience. The children enjoyed it immensely, Tia and David. Now, when the morning came, we made our way around the rock, and the wind picked up. It was a little quite blowy when we closed onto the marina. And when we arrived at the marina, they told us to stay on standby on channel 72 because they were busy with something in the marina. They couldn't let us in yet. And that was around, I don't know, half nine, maybe 10 o'clock in the morning, I say around half nine. So that made me decide to fuel up. So we went to the diesel dock and put in 240 liters of diesel. The Quo Vadis can hold about 300 liters of diesel. So we put in 240 liters of diesel for 55p a liter. That's like 65 cent a liter, half the price of anywhere else in Europe, and apparently the cheapest in the world. I would argue with that, but definitely the cheapest in Europe. So that was a good buy. Then finally they called us in for our place in the marina, and instead of allocating us a place in the 12 meter long length boats, they allocated us a place in the 10 meter length boats. The only problem with that is you don't have too much room between two boats. We barely squeezed. We actually had to push our way in, port and starboard, to be able to reverse into our sloop. The staff was kind. They connected us to water and electricity. The marina fees were ridiculously cheap, £16 a day, £16.50. So I can't complain from this point of view. And then it was there were two things that we wanted to do in Gibraltar. First, of course, was to visit the city and get a sense of the place. And secondly, was to receive my autopilot computer from UK and install it. Installing the computer took me almost 2 days of work, but definitely a full day and a little bit of the other day. But I was really happy to have it installed. I had to pull away a lot of cables from the old system that were doing nothing. It took me a while to put in place the rudder sensor and the compass, but I did my best to do a good job, so I wouldn't have no surprises in the future. I did all the wiring by myself, just looking at the schemes and trying to figure out everything else. And I have to say that indeed the autopilot works and it works beautifully. And with the autopilot on board, our life is already way better, more relaxed. We don't have a person that needs to be at the helm all the time. We can move around the boat, do different things, talk, read, cook, and we just check on the autopilot now and again. And that's beautiful. Now, Gibraltar town. I was expecting more from the town. Probably this is the first time I'm disappointed in a place I visited in the last months. It wasn't crowded with people, but it was crowded with buildings, which you kind of expect when you try to cram 30,000 people on a tip of a rock. But also, the city took the shape of the old streets. So just to make a point, in the first day when we tried to go to the supermarket, it took us half an hour because we just took the wrong turns left and right. We followed the boulevard, the main street. A day later, once we figured out the layout of the city, it took us less than 5 minutes to get to the same supermarket from the marina. So it's the city, it's misleading. You can spend half an hour to get to a spot, and if you know the shortcuts, it takes you 5 or 7 minutes. That's one thing. The other thing is that despite all of that, there were no cigarette butts on the ground. I don't know. There was something about some of the people I met around. I got the feeling that not everybody was making a honest living in that city, let me put it that way. But this could be a very wrong impression, a very personal and, I don't know, impression of the place. But that was my feeling. Prices were good, nothing to complain about. But just you know, even in the marina, the people weren't communicating too much to each other. I managed to have a conversation of about 10 minutes with a fellow cruiser. But apart from that, there were people we kind of greeted each day, but they will never stop for a chat. It will be very, you know, very superficial in any human interaction. We went up the rock to see the monkeys, and that was an absolutely lovely experience. Everybody got scared. David spent a day searching on YouTube and informing himself about what to expect when he's going to see the macaque monkeys on the Gibraltar Rock. And they were lovely. They were lovely, friendly. We got really nice pictures of them. We went up the rock by foot. We went down by foot. We didn't take an escalator or any taxi or any car. So it was a very difficult, grueling, almost 2 hours going up the rock. We went the long way through the north side of the rock and then walk along and come down the Prince Charles Way or Prince, I can't remember, you know, we came down the steps that probably most of the tourists use to access the top of the rock. Nice experience, nice place, beautiful view of the bay and of the city. Once you're up there, probably if I was to start my stay in Gibraltar with the first day going up the rock, my feeling of the city would have changed, because once you're up there and you see the city below you, it's quite magnificent. You love the city. But probably because we start with 2 days down below and going through the streets and human interactions and all of that, probably that kind of put a negative twist to my experience. Also, we arrived on a Friday. There was quite a lot of construction going on, you know, tall buildings, so a lot of noise coming from the construction site. That, you know, after all the peace that we had for a month, to come to, you know, the sound of a pick hammer and all of that, kind of put me off. I don't know, but it's definitely a place that I wouldn't come in a hurry to leave. I don't consider Gibraltar a place that you would want to settle. That's my opinion. So we spent 4 nights in Gibraltar, and then to stick to our plan, it was the time to leave for our crossing to Rabat. We are right now in the middle of this crossing, not in the middle, towards the end of this crossing. Now, everybody will advise you, the pilot books and you know, everybody that you ask will advise you to leave Gibraltar if you're going westwards, like getting out into the Atlantic, to leave with the easterly wind at 2 hours after high tide Gibraltar. Okay. There was no easterly wind, there was only westerly coming from the Atlantic, but at only 8 to 12 knots. So not a big wind here, nothing strong. So we decided to leave 2 hours after high water Gibraltar. That was around 11:15 on Tuesday, in order to go through the Straits of Gibraltar through, you know, all day through Tuesday, in such a way that on Tuesday evening we'll be off the African coast and heading into the Atlantic. Now, the tide in the strait can be strong. They say, you know, if you really time it bad, you can have 7 knots of tide against you. I can tell you that with good timing, at some point we had 3.6 knots of tide against us. And the mistake that I made was to go a little bit too far out of the coast instead of staying close to the coast. I was thinking that I'm close to the coast. I was in 100 meters of water. I was half a mile of the coast, but that even proved to be too far, because when I was struggling to get through this tide, that was on our when we were about 5 miles off Tarifa. Okay, up to that point everything was fine, but at that point the tide started to be like 1 knot, 1.5, 2, 2.2, 2.7, 3.2, 3.6 knots of tide against us. Like we're barely moving. We are making like 1.5 miles an hour above ground, speed over ground, which was ridiculous. At that point, I saw a sailboat and a catamaran very close to the shore, and they were actually moving ahead. And I said, okay, I'm doing something wrong. I went towards the Spain coast, only let's say towards 300 meters of the coast, 300 meters, and from 3.6 knots of tide, it dropped to 1.2, 1.5 knots of tide. So that helped us get around Tarifa into the other side of the Gibraltar Straits, into the Atlantic side. And by 5-6 o'clock, we managed to be on the African coast, cross the traffic. The traffic was very little. We basically didn't have to avoid any traffic. We just kind of looked around us. Two ships were kind of behind us. We started doing the crossing, and 20 minutes later, we were clear of them, and there was nothing coming from the other side. Now, the second piece of advice that you get when people, you read about making your cross, your leg along the Moroccan coast, is to keep as far out of the coast as possible in order to avoid the fishermen and the fishing nets, the Moroccan fishermen. We did see fishermen heading out in, like 7 o'clock, they were kind of heading out into the Atlantic. Okay, people doing, going around their business. But we didn't see, they weren't fishing, they were just heading out, a couple of boats, heading out into the Atlantic. And we had a couple of cargo ships around us, but nothing major. And then, at around 3 or 4 o'clock at night, we found ourselves, we were about 22 miles off the coast of Morocco, heading south. And we found ourselves in the middle of the fishing fleet, I can almost say. There were green lights, red lights all around us. At some point, one of the fishing boats started flashing a big white light at us just to let us know that he's there. Probably he saw that we didn't see him. And for a minute I thought, okay, he's just trying to tell me that, he's dragging the net. So I said, okay, I'm going to move to port and go along him. But at that point, he started flashing his light even crazier than before. Then I started the other way. He started flashing his light again. I didn't know what he meant by flashing light. So at that point, I took a light myself and I flashed it back to him, just letting him know, okay, I've seen your signal. I know where you are. Let me just pass you. And after about half an hour going up and down along his side, we passed him just to find ourselves among more fishing boats. You couldn't see them. You just see their light. You couldn't make a shape or anything like that. You just see their light in like half a mile or maybe a mile away from us. So the night was pretty calm and peaceful in the beginning, but from about 4 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock, it was all about finding our way through them. And then when the light came, no fishing boat around us. And through the day, all day today, this is Wednesday, yeah? All day today, maybe one or two big trawlers, but no small fishing boats around us. That's a given. And we are about 25 miles off the coast of Morocco. Now, we had to leave Gibraltar at 2 hours after high water in order to get the best possible tide in our favor, so to fight as little tide as possible while going through the straits. But that doesn't time well with arriving in Rabat. In Rabat, we also need to have to arrive at high water in order to be able to go up the channel, because Rabat port, Rabat marina, it's up a river into the new, into Saleh town. And at low tide, the river in places can be just 0.8 or even 1.2 meters deep, not enough for our draft. So we need to arrive at high water, and high water at Rabat will be, tomorrow will be around 12 o'clock. Okay, we need to arrive during the day because we need a pilot boat to guide us through the channel, and we need to be at high water. So right now, like for the past 6-7 hours of today, we are trying to reduce the speed and only advance at 2.5 or 3 knots. We're basically zigzagging our way to Gibraltar, despite the fact that you could sail straight away. But if we were to sail at full speed all the way down the African coast to Rabat, we will arrive maybe after 6 o'clock in the evening. So first of all will be low water, and then at the same time the marina will be closed. The pilot boat wouldn't be available to take us in. They specifically say to arrive during daytime and business hours. So that brings us up to date. What's good about all this autopilot thing is that the children now start studying. David and Dora start doing their boat schooling, reading maths, English, a bit of science, and I'm very happy about that. And we get to spend a bit more time together because we can chat to each other. There is not that frustration of being at the helm for hours and being tired. It's a different atmosphere on the boat. Theodora wrote an essay today for her English about her passion, and she said her passion is travel. And when I heard her reading the essay, I almost burst into tears, because she says so many beautiful things about how this adventure already is affecting her. And I was impressed to hear that coming from her, when a few months back she was just kind of hating the idea of coming on the trip. And David is a little bit spoiled. He does his work, but he wants somebody to be with him all the time when he's doing his work. He doesn't want to do that work without supervision, so to speak. The noise that you hear right now, it's the wave crashing against the hull. Here in the Atlantic, we have about 1 meter swell. So now and again, the boat will slap against the swell and you get this noise, but the boat is moving very comfortable. We had to motor basically for the first 24 hours while we were getting out of the strait. We had to motor. There was no way to sail. The wind was in our nose. And we decided to motor until we got well off the African coast, just to try to keep off the fishing vessels. But we just ended up in the middle of them. And also there is one knot tide along the coast that kind of comes in and out of the coast, and at the same time I wanted to just get away from the African coast and keep a safe distance while sailing down to Rabat. But today before lunchtime we put up the sails and we're just trying to slow us. We have as little sail up as needed just to keep the boat speed at around 3 knots. So hopefully we will arrive tomorrow in Rabat, and the real adventure on the African continent will start. I expect delicious food in Morocco and really beautiful experiences. It's going to be 2 weeks of traveling inland. Once we get to Rabat, we put the boat into the marina. We have a rent-a-car ready, and we'll spend two weeks traveling from town to town, down to the desert, spend a few nights in the desert, go out into the mountains, spend a few nights up into the mountains, and to really try to enjoy Morocco at its best. Probably once we start our Moroccan land trip, I will come up with this audio journal more often, because it's going to be a lot happening, and I just want to be able to record my experiences. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for listening. I hope you're getting something out of this. If there is something that can be learned so far from that, I can say is that despite all the hard work that I had to put in while in France, despite all the plans that I made and my fears, everything so far turns out to be okay. No big drama, no big dangers. I'm pretty sure at some point we'll face our fears, but so far everything was pretty good. No major drama and a lot of good time. All the best.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.